it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Look at the time. Look at the time.
Look at the time. It is Hut in the Clock. Hutton O'Clock here on Caroline Willie D. Mays, 102.5-106.3 The Game. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joins us now. Hutton, it's been a lot the past few days, but let's start with Will Levis's performance on Sunday. How surprised were you to see that, and how much do you think that could have had weight in how the Titans approach the trade deadline?
Well, first off, I was surprised, to say the least, because in the first career start, he's putting up numbers and throwing touchdown passes that we haven't seen through the league in a debut, or we haven't seen from the deep passing game in a debut. We've seen multiple touchdowns before. We saw it with Marcus Mariota, and I think that's why you don't go full gas on the hype machine yet, because in the NFL, life comes at you fast. You celebrate and you turn around and you see you have a Thursday night football game in Pittsburgh. But look, as far as debuts go and signs of the future, in a week where we were discussing Kevin Byard being traded during the bye week, you have multiple reasons to point to why they should trade some of their star power in order to gear up for the draft and gear up for the future. One foot in, one foot out. And what are they going for the postseason? Are they going for a rebuild? What are they doing? And then the storyline, despite all of that over the last 2 weeks, ends up being Will Levis and this team being rejuvenated, having some energy offensively. The defense looks across while they're sitting on the bench and sees touchdowns being scored and knows that there is margin for error now on their side of the football. And it was a very confident offense. And I think that goes to show what a little juice can do, especially coming off of a bye and knowing that it was a very beatable opponent. But also, I mean, I do feel like it was kind of a last stand feel. I was driving to the stadium, guys. I don't know if you guys felt the same way either watching or going, but it kind of felt like a last stand. You mentioned the trade deadline. Just what's the vibe? What's the mentality? What's the mood? What's reality? And right now, reality is they can contend for a playoff spot with a rookie quarterback that can improve along the way with the best players around them that they didn't trade away.
Do you feel like this team now, and I know that it's one game, I know it's one win, I know you're sitting at 3-4, but 3-4 sounds a whole lot better than 2-5 does.
Sure.
2-5, that's a hole that seems really difficult, if not impossible, to dig yourself out of.
2-5 and going to Pittsburgh, Caroline.
Ooh, on a short week? Yikes.
Right.
Do you feel like this team can make a run, at least for the division?
Sure they can. I mean, we've seen rookies in this franchise come in and play well and lead this team, if not to the postseason, but lead them on a run. Things can be streaky. And I think what's important here is what Levis did well is more than just throwing, chicks dig the long ball. It was more than like the Glavin and Maddox commercial back in the day. This was a very locked in QB, and for what Tannehill was doing and what he's meant to the franchise, we have not seen them move the football in that manner with the receiving core that they've had or didn't have, or they've had D-Hop and he's been very good. We saw that break out in a big way. And even what Tannehill was doing well, Levis picked up where they left off in that area too, like with play action, for instance. So, yeah, I think that's it's a big step in the right direction. But also, let's make sure that we realize here the rookie is going to have struggles along the way. We just saw the veteran do it. And a lot of that is dependent on offensive line. I mean, all the issues that Tannehill we would bring up for him is going to be faced by Will Levis. And it's about everyone playing the way they did this past Sunday, not just the quarterback. There was a lot of different factors that allowed Sunday to happen. But when it came time for him to make the plays, he stepped up and made the plays. And he didn't try to make the play when nothing was there. And he, I think the situational awareness is also key with what we saw.
Hutt, you're absolutely right. And I think people are, you know, I don't want to use the word scared, but people, they don't want to, because they point to Marcus Mariota in his first year and what he did his first game. But I want to remind you, Marcus isn't the same quarterback as Levis is. When Marcus came out, there were still a lot of questions with his arm strength. And can he throw the ball outside? And he couldn't. I knew that when I watched him play at Oregon. Everything was in the middle of the field. He thrived in the middle of the field. Those hashes were wider, spread you out, hit everything. He never really threw outside the numbers. So you knew, even with a great game that he played his rookie year, you still should have known this kid still hadn't shown he can throw outside the numbers. Contrast that to Will Levis, he can make every throw in the book. Yes, he will come down to earth some, but people, don't be scared to realize you may have something special here. You may have a guy that can lead you to playoff, multiple playoffs, as he's the quarterback here with the Tennessee Titans. Don't be scared and reflect back on Marcus Mariota. Two different quarterback, two different skill sets. Marcus could not spin the ball the way that Will Levis can. And also, the poise that he has, you just don't develop that. You don't lose it. He has the poise, I believe, of a veteran quarterback. That's going to take him a long way.
I think we should also mention just, you know, they had the week. From what I'm told, Levis behind the scenes was locked in from the bye all the way through last week. It was a very good plan by Tim Kelly. But what they did, Mace, is you're right. I mean, they ran their offense. And look, there's a Derrick Henry factor that you can't just look at numbers and figure out here. The Titans are number one in play action passing yards per game. They're averaging 18 yards per play action completion. And they're averaging the second most play action pass attempts per game. Tannehill is a part of those numbers. He had 462 yards. That's third best in the NFL at the time of injury on play action. Levis steps in on play action and then has seven completions for 113 yards and two touchdowns. But that's off of what they're doing with their run game. As while we see Henry close to busting one, it's not. It's just their offense and how it's constructed through the backfield. And now you add in the best rookie arm in terms of just distance, throwing off his back foot. Point. I mean, if he was dropping passes in the bucket that weren't even that should have been caught that were not. The touchdown pass to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine was awesome. I mean, it was just it was one of those days that we'll look back on and you'll say, okay, yeah. I mean, fans shouldn't be, you know, apprehensive because of Marcus's one game where Jameis Winston's first pass is an interception by Bleedy Ray Wilson, and then Mariota goes in and, you know, throws for the four touchdowns that we saw. I mean, he's in a good situation and he's got the arm to do it. And the question is now, can he build on that? Because he's going to have every opportunity to do it. And I think for the most part, the Titans are going to stick with that as long as the health is fine and as long as the Titans are contending. And this is a locker room, Mace. You can speak to this better than I can. But having been around the Titans for 16 years in the locker room, there was a vibe in some instances where you knew that certain quarterbacks – the defense, the offense, special, everyone believed that game in and game out, that was going to be a factor, right? Mm-hmm. Levis can certainly give that type of energy. There was that boost on Sunday that we saw. You don't even have to be in the locker room. Just listen to Jeffrey Simmons mic'd up on the bench. I mean, that is an energy that can't be quantified, and they're doing it with the same type of production that Tim Kelly was trying to draw up initially, where we all agree, I think, that there were plays that Kelly has done offensively leading up to this game where the offense seems to be better than they were a year ago, but on the scoreboard, they're certainly not. And I think in this instance, they've got a quarterback that can really let it rip. And if Hop's going to get if D-Hop's going to get the separation that we saw on Sunday, this can be while it's going to be a bumpy ride, this can be a really fun ride inside that building and certainly for the fan base as well.
Now, I was going to bring up also the other factors around Will Levis. We saw D-Hop versus man-to-man coverage, and you know, it's like, why are you gonna, even if the man can't run as fast, you don't do, you know, cover him one-on-one without any help consistently, and that's what Atlanta did, and they paid for it. I think Pittsburgh employs something different. They're not going to be a strictly man-to-man defense because that's not who Pittsburgh is. But do you believe that the continued growth for Will Levis also depends on Treylon Burks, him getting himself involved in this offense? Because, again, I think Pittsburgh is going to do a good job at taking away the deep ball because they know the young man can throw it, and that's his strength, taking away the deep ball. That's where the big body comes into play of a Treylon Burks and D-Hop, for that matter. But I'm looking at a guy that's physical, strong, and fast that hasn't inserted himself in this offense the way he needs to.
I totally agree with you. And it's got to be, you know, going into the season, it was, okay, DeAndre Hopkins can come in and be a number one option, and he's been the number one option for the Titans. Treylon Burks needs to take over that spot, though, right? And he needs to ascend to that level because he was going – before they signed DeAndre Hopkins, he was that guy. It was him. And he's drafted in a position where the expectation is to be good. It's not unfair to expect great things from a young receiver in the National Football League. And that starts with being available, but it also starts with just being consistent. And that's what I want to see from Burks now, is just building, stacking consistent games the way we see from DeAndre Hopkins. The Titans' leading receiver last year was Robert Woods. Mm-hmm. He ranked 77th in the NFL in receiving yards, 530 yards,
disgusting.
77. And already this season, DeAndre Hopkins has 504 yards. He ranks 21st in the NFL. D-Hop has come in and been more than worth the investment. And now it's time for Treylon Burks to be worth the investment of the 16th overall pick in the NFL draft. That's just the reality of where he is, where he was drafted, and who they traded away whenever they drafted him. And he is a part of the future, just like Will Levis can be. So, yes, it's on him. And by the way, Chigakonkwo, catch the football.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as much as it is about Burks and Hopkins, Chigakonkwo needs to catch the football. And if we're discussing Levis's day, imagine if Okonkwo catches that pass right before half and where those numbers could be. Again, like, a lot of things went right, and we still see things that can improve around the quarterback. It's not all on Will Levis. It wasn't all on Tannehill. The same guys that need to step up are the same guys that remain out there for Levis too. And that certainly starts with Treylon Burks.
I wonder how much of it is mental with Chig right now. The drop,
I think it has to be,
whatever.
Willie. Yeah.
And there's also, I also see mechanically the smoothness, he's doesn't have the quiet feet, some of those things that you look for with hands, but that's a whole nother discussion.
Yes.
You're right. He is a huge, huge piece to the puzzle here that they've gotten nothing from. Now, let's talk about this matchup tomorrow night, because we have this image of the Steelers, right? Tough place to win. Nasty. Not going to beat themselves. Great defense. And a lot of that is true. But if you look at the stats, Hutt, it is, they've got some major, major issues. They are very fortunate, I think, to be 4-3. They've been hardly dominant whatsoever. They've won some very close games where you kind of say they pulled a Houdini act. As bad as the Titans' passing numbers are, Kenny Pickett in the passing offense for the Steelers, not much better, and they have a very poor running attack. This is a great opportunity for the Titans' defense to sort of pick up the slack and say, yes, our defense can win us a game.
Yeah, well, that's it. The defense is going to have to get some turnovers. And you're right. The Canada offense will provide. This is also, I think we can have another great game from Levis. I do, because the environment is is not an easy one to play in, but they've already lost the most lopsided loss in the Tomlin era happened this year by the 49ers. And then they turn around and lose again at home to Jacksonville. It's a place you can go and win, and it's an offense that's not going to put up a ton of points. So I feel a lot like I did just looking at the scoreboard this past weekend. The Titans put up 28, and that's unheard of if you're a Titans fan. The Titans can win that game tomorrow doing a similar style, but it doesn't have to be on the arm of Levis. I think this can be a grind it out, they want to muddy the waters a bit type performance where you're going to rely on your run game. And I think a part of that, too, is just the offensive line play, knowing that Dillard is going to be inserted there due to injury and what this pass rush can do and how the pass rush for Pittsburgh can take over a game and quickly send you to the loss column when you felt like you were playing well enough to do something better than leave Pittsburgh with another loss at Heinz Field. So, yeah, I mean, this is a beatable Steelers team. It's also a very solid – well-coached group, and they play in a division where week in and week out they hold their own. So I look around and think, well, can Levis have a similar performance? And if he throws the pick, and look, I think we're going to see him face some adversity. How does he respond to that in a sudden change, or respond to a bad play and not let it get to his head? Have the same type of heady performance that we've seen in 2021 when he's at Kentucky and what we saw last week. Not everything's going to be great. And this is going to be a game packed with some moments where you want to stay on the field. You know, just keep the offense on the field and sustain some time of possession and let Henry go to work. I think they're certainly capable of that. But I hesitate to say the Titans are going on the road to win. And it's because, Willie, of the defensive front for Pittsburgh and knowing that they have to be game planning, thinking this is a game where we can take over as well.
I would love to see Tajay Spears still get the ball three or four more times a game.
I
want to see him in open space. I think there's something there. There's another level there. Let me ask you this, Hutt. The Titans have been completely different when they have played at home compared to on the road. And let's couple that with the line in this game. The line is 2.5 in Pittsburgh with a rookie quarterback. That ought to tell you something about how the Steelers have played. Because this is my biggest question, is can the Titans protect the quarterback and do some of the things that they just flat out have not been able to do at all on the road? To me, if it looks anything like it has at home, then I really think they have a very good chance of winning this game. But if they play like they've played on the road, which is a very bad team, then it could get ugly tomorrow.
Yeah, it can. Look,
what is it about being on the road? Like in the NFL, home field advantage is not nearly what it seems, right? The road teams find a way, the crowd and everything like that. It's not as big of a deal as you might think. So why has it been so extreme for the Titans?
Well, I think extreme for the Titans has just been, first off, let's start with the first road game of the season. I don't know why they threw the ball as much as they did for a head coach that says he doesn't want to get into drop back passing situations. It's like, I can go week by week here. And Willie, the other part of this, they're not playing it's cliche, but the complimentary style of football that we saw, Ryan Stonehouse punting 5 times inside the 20, the field position type battle. They've been winning those at home, and they've also played they've played some defenses at home that they can take advantage of. I realize Atlanta statistically was pretty good, but just seeing some of the play in the secondary and the arm of Levis, that plays a whole factor in that. And let's also factor into the O-line has had some penalties due to noise or just, bad play that has really struck them and bit them. And now they have they're in a really good spot to go on the road and start with stacking some wins. You get a long weekend if you can do it. Coming back from the bye, you pick up 2 wins and you move forward against Tampa. It's a good spot for them, also a bad spot just given how they've played on the road and the fact that this has been a team, home or away, where you have to rely on your defense to be dominant. They have to be the storyline. The front seven has to be the storyline. And when they're not, they've been losing games. And on the road, we've seen the stars of the Titans not be the star power in the game description after the game. And that's got to be a huge factor in this. Jeffrey Simmons needs to be the top player at his position on Thursday night. He needs to be exactly Big Jeff that we know he can be. The disruptor, just like we're going to see from TJ Watt. And Simmons gets to do it against Kenny Pickett, who's banged up. He says he's playing for sure. But, I mean, you know that Simmons is looking for a reason to go after the midsection of Pickett. This is I like where the Titans go into this game. Short notice, short turnaround, I should say. But, look, this is not the Steelers offense that's going to grind it and win a tight window ball game. Especially at home where the fans are eager to boo the offense more than cheer the offense when the game kicks off.
Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, always appreciate our weekly visits. Thanks for stopping by. We'll chat next week.
Always enjoy this, guys. You guys have a great week. Enjoy the game tomorrow.
Awesome. You too. Thanks, Hutton. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Hutton, he is the very best. Appreciate him for stopping by. Now, coming up next, Ryan McDonough will join us. Normally, a Preds player will join the Chase and Big Joe show, but given the long road trip, given that they're on the West Coast, Ryan McDonough will join us. So we will chat with him coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs tomorrow from 5 to 7 p.m. for our NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans Week 9 matchup against the Steelers and give you the latest updates before the game. Our award-winning NFL pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and The Beast Unleashed. And joining us now is Predators defenseman Ryan McDonough, who normally would join the Chase and Big Joe show, but given the long road trip and given that they're on the West Coast, joining our show today, and we are so glad that he's here. Ryan, appreciate you for joining us. You know, looking at the Preds season so far, it's been kind of up and down. You win a couple, you lose a couple, you have, you know, quick starts where it looks tough and it looks like that Predator way is coming to fruition, and then you see some games where it might be a little bit of a slower start where the intensity maybe isn't as high as we've seen in previous games. Through the first few games of the season, how would you categorize, or characterize rather, where this team is at?
Yeah, I mean, you summarized it pretty good, right? We've had some ups and downs, some great games, some not so great. But now we've got, you know, a large enough sample size where I think our group realizes, you know, what makes us successful, what gives us the best chance to win. You know, we've seen both sides of it now through 9 games. But I think we're still gaining more confidence within our system, within our structure. I mean, I love the pace that we play at. You know, when we're really skating, we're keeping teams under duress. We're not spending a lot of time in our zone. But certainly, I think, you know, execution, puck management, some decision making, that's stuff that we've got to continue to look at and work at. But overall, I think guys feel going into the game, you know, we have a chance to win every night with the group that we have and the system and the coaches, the way they prepare us. So that's a good feeling to have early on here in the season.
Ryan McDonough is with us, and a lot of those inconsistencies could be a product of having a fairly young team. But you are a veteran presence in the locker room, kind of viewed as maybe the moral leader for some of these young guys. How do you view your role in finding a little bit more consistency for some of these young guys?
For sure. Yeah, myself and the other vets, we have to lead the way. We have to, be ready right from the start of the game, play the right way, and show these guys, you know, what it takes each night. And, you know, you want to be that guy that's counted on by your team. I mean, you play a lot of minutes, you play some situations, special teams, you've got to execute and you've got to come through. So that's on all those guys that all of us that play a lot of minutes and are expected to you know, carry the load, so to speak. You know, we've got to make sure we're bringing it every night. And if we're not there, holding guys accountable and holding ourselves to a high standard here, that's what we want, is have a high standard, expectation that every night it's going to be a tough night when you're playing the Preds, and we're going to find a way to win as many hockey games as possible.
Ryan McDonough, Preds defenseman, is with us. And kind of, you know, looking at the opposite end of that question, it's something that we've seen recently with the Titans, going with a new young quarterback. It's kind of energized the locker room a little bit. For you, as a veteran, someone who's been in the league a long time, what's that like for you to be working with so many young and inexperienced players?
Yeah, I mean, that's the nature of the league. You need your youth guys, you know, to come up and make a difference, be X factors for you, be big time players. I mean, you draft players, you make trades, you pick up guys and waivers. You're always looking at ways to improve your team, and you do that mostly by, you know, drafting and adding young guys. And so, you know, for us and for our team, we're excited about the group of guys that we have, and we're adding to it. You know, it seems like every couple of weeks here, we pick up a new waiver claim, and it's a young forward or young player coming in. And like I said, we want to have a very welcoming room, a room that's tight-knit, and also a room that, you know, expects a lot out of each other. And that's what we're trying to establish here.
We're talking with Ryan McDonough. Now, Ryan, you and Alex Carrier have taken on a lot of minutes as of late. And how do you... because I see it as a doubles sort of thing in tennis. You got to know the partner you're playing with very well. And it seems like now that you and Alex Carrier are picking up a lot of minutes together, what is it about his game that you like and that you see that makes this combination between you and how you and him work so well?
Yeah, no, I agree. I've loved the start of the season that we've had together. I've now played a handful of games together. I mean, first and foremost, he skates so well, and that's obviously got to be a huge asset as a defenseman in this day and age game. If you're not able to skate, gap up, break the puck out by yourself at times, get your feet going, you know, join the offense, all those things come from being a good skater. So Carrier has that for sure. He can get up and get in the face of guys. And, you know, for a smaller stature guy, he's not afraid to throw his weight around. He's, you know, willing to block shots, which, you know, everybody on our team is expected to do that and help us win games that way. And I just love this. His confidence keeps growing. You know, he's got a little bit of special teams work on the power play and obviously killing with me on the penalty kill. So, yeah, he's getting a lot of minutes, a lot of looks in situations, and you can see his confidence growing. And for us, it's been a good start to the year. We know we're... you know, we're expected to shut down other teams' top players, and that's a role that we you know, want to do to the best of our ability.
Now, there are certain milestones that you reach in this game, and some people may look at it and say, okay, yeah, but other milestones, it comes because of, you know, you're doing the right things. You're on the ice a lot. You look at a guy like Ryan O'Reilly. He's coming up on his style 1,000 game. How do you see him as a player and as a leader? Because he has to be doing something right in order to play that many games.
Yeah, it is incredible. I mean, I've played against him for many years and heard a lot of great things about him as a teammate, you know, former teammates of his. So to be able to play with him now for, you know, a month and a half, you can see the reason why he's, you know, now just, as of last night, hit his 1,000th game. And, I mean, he prepares – you know, just as much as any player I've ever seen. You know, he's there early on game day mornings. He's rarely ever taking the option in the mornings. He's always out there working on his skills and getting his touches in. And, you know, come game time, you know, he's just really dialed in on his preparation, his routine, his focus. You know, he's as consistent as a player as you can find. You know what you're going to get every night. He holds himself to a high standard, and he just kind of bleeds through the rest of the room the way he carries himself. So last night was obviously a great night for him and a great night for our team for, you know, like I said, a lot of young guys to see that, you know, somebody play their 1,000th game. And as you grow and spend more time in this league and play longer in this league, you just appreciate those guys that hit those milestones because you know how tough it is, and with injuries and staying in and out of the lineup. You know, it's a privilege every day to play in the National Hockey League. And so for him, he's earned that milestone night. And it was unfortunate we couldn't get the win, but credit for all of his hard work over the years.
We're talking to Predators defenseman Ryan McDonough. Ryan, you've been a captain in this league for a long time, as has Ryan O'Reilly. And now Roman Josi, of course, is putting together several years as a captain. I'm curious how the three of you guys work together, because you've all been there. Roman obviously has been there from the start of his career. You got there last year. Ryan's just kind of learning the group. But how do the three of you work together to try to, as Caroline was asking you about, sort of set the table for everybody in that room, especially that young nucleus?
Yeah, I think obviously we've got great leadership. You know, you mentioned three of us, but even beyond that too, with guys like Forsberg, Colton Sissons, Nyquist, Tyson Berry. I think we've got a great group that's just really unselfish. There's no egos with our group. Guys are really just trying to do whatever they can to help the team win every night, to help the team improve every day in practice or whatnot. So we definitely kind of bounce things off each other. We've had a lot of games in this league and experienced a lot of different things. So we're always trying to look at ways to help each other, whether it's individually or team-wise or another player on the team. And like I said, we're kind of open to anything and any suggestion or idea that we have to, get the team better. And so I think that's obviously an awesome trait of us is to have that unselfishness, that willingness to, do whatever it takes. And, we all kind of pick our roles as far as when to step up, when to speak, when to, make arrangements, get the team together, all those things. We've got a good balance there. And like I said, many more guys extended just from the guys wearing the letter. So it's an awesome group of veterans that we've got here in Nashville.
You were a regular player in the league at 21, 22 years of age. There's some guys on this team that are going through that right now. And I've seen, and you've seen it now, a guy like Yusuf Parsons, who's had some big moments already, but he's had some struggles as well. That you can go right down the roster, Tomasino and Evangelista, guys who are really critical for the big picture. What, when you think back to that time and you go through those ups and downs where maybe for one day or 2 days, you're like, yeah, I've got this. I'm going to make it. And then maybe you have a couple of rough days and you're sort of reminded that you still have a lot to learn. What is that process like?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, there's pressure. The pressure you put on yourself, all that hard work that you do to prepare. You want to play in the NHL. You want to make a name for yourself, make a living for yourself, have a great career. But it's not just a smooth ride. And anybody that, doesn't matter if you've played 1,000 games, 1,500 games, it's never a smooth ride. As far as life in the NHL, but you have to remind yourself that you're here for a reason and you've got to stick to what you do best, be who you are. And that's kind of what I say to these guys, a lot of times is make your plays, do your thing out there. Like, you're here for a reason. You're on this team. You're put in the roles. You're going to be put in situations to succeed. So you just go out there and trust your instincts and be confident in yourself. So, no doubt. I mean, like I said, you have ups and downs, but you learn from them. You take the lessons from them and only help you grow a little thicker skin here along the way. And like I said, come back, even better, hopefully the next day. So I've loved the attitude of the guys. And like you said, there has been a lot of moving parts, guys in and out of the lineup. But like I said, I think we've got a great group that no matter who's in the lineup that night, everybody's pulling for each other, which is awesome.
Strange game last night. Maybe it was because it was on Halloween. I thought the puck was bouncing all over the place. Guys were falling down. It was a little bit odd there. But I want to ask you about the special teams. Of course, the penalty kill is so big. And I just look at guys like Pettersson and Hughes and some of the other power plays you guys have faced. And I'm curious your thoughts as you watch it, because, of course, the penalty kill has got to be better for your team going forward here. But these guys bring a lot to the table. That Pettersson shot, the way Hughes moves the puck, it's awfully tough to stop, even if you've got the scouting right. So how do you try to gain confidence and get better in those areas?
Yeah, I mean, penalty killing is a fine line. You think you're going well for a while, and all of a sudden, you've got two in a row in the back of your net, and you kind of feel like you've got to go back to the drawing board. But no, I think with our group, obviously, we've got a lot of the similar penalty killers back from last year. Maybe added O'Reilly that's killing a little bit more for us, and some other guys along the way here. But You know, you have to trust your process and realize how important the littlest details are and the littlest plays on the penalty kill, whether it's, you know, a rebound and a puck going in the corner. You know, how do you get that puck out and get it cleared all the way? Because, you know, as you can see last night, you know, we had a couple opportunities in that one penalty kill they scored on to maybe get a puck down and just didn't get the job done. And then, you know, you get a little bit exposed when you're fatigued and tired late in the penalty kill. But I think our group understands those little details and we'll keep adding as far as repetitions go here throughout the season, just picking up on little cues, where to be better, where we can execute better, and trust our group out there because we've got a great coaching staff that prepares us there. You know, we know we have to be a difference maker and have to be better as far as keeping the puck out of our net there on the penalty kill, and we'll make sure we're doing whatever we can to execute better.
All right, Ryan, last one. I've asked you about this before because I am a total sports geek who grew up in Orlando, and I watched your uncle. Now, D-Mace, I want to hear your reaction to this because D-Mace is a contemporary of mine. Ryan's uncle is Steve Walsh. Now, you remember the U and those teams. Now, yeah, I knew you were going to have that reaction, D-Mace. That was must-watch TV every Saturday. So I love asking. I know I've done it before, but, Ryan, tell D-Mace what it's like for Steve Walsh, in his role in your family, maybe some influence. You're quite a bit younger than he is, but, man, he was really something to watch, and his team is one of the most memorable college football teams that I think we watched, D-Mace and I, growing up.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I was born, obviously, in 1989 there when he was coming through the college ranks with Miami, so obviously didn't really get to see it in person, but I've watched the games on replay now when I've gotten older, but even as a young kid, being able to go to those NFL stadiums and watch him play, you know, he was so good about taking care of me, my brothers, my cousins, and all of us that were, you know, catching the game in Minnesota. We'd go to Green Bay, and he'd take us down on the field in Lambeau Field and in the locker room, meeting some of the players. Those are great memories that, you know, definitely stuck with me as far as, you know, wanting to become a pro athlete. Obviously, it wasn't the same sport, but, you know, just the little lessons that he's taught me along the way here have been huge as far as, you know, respecting your opponents and always taking care of your teammates and looking after each other. And, you know, obviously, as a quarterback, you're the most important player on the team. So everybody's looking at you and how you handle pressure and how do you handle expectations. So many life lessons that he's helped me with and been a role model for me still to this day. So, great memories for our family and growing up definitely helped shape who I am and the athlete and person I am today.
Ryan McDonough, Predators defenseman. Ryan, appreciate you for joining us. Enjoy the rest of this road trip.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks a lot for having me.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Appreciate Ryan McDonough, Predators defenseman, for his time and for stopping by. And, hey, you can make your silly underdog picks for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app as we approach week 9 of college football and week 8 of the NFL. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. Tune into 94.9 The Fan this Saturday at 6:45 p.m. for our college football game of the week. LSU at Alabama, presented by Twin Peaks. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks for scenic views of all of the hottest college football games across the country and home of the 29-degree beer. We've got some thoughts in our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So unless you have thoughts,
let's go to those phones.
Let's get to the phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dustin in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, texts in about the Titans and says the whole Titan team as a whole hit the reset button on Sunday. Levis spilled over into the defense. In their minds, they're 1-0 and can beat anyone now.
I would have thought that after the Bengals game. You know, that's the weird thing about this league, the up and downs. I love how Ryan McDonough was saying, there's just not a smooth ride, right? When you go through this long season, the best teams emerge, the ones that can put that consistent effort in every week. So I still look at the Titans team and I still see ups and downs, But maybe I'm wrong. Like, I would love for that to be the story. It would be a great story.
Yeah, it would be. But the defense still gave up their fair share of big plays, missed tackles. You know, they allowed, you know, Tyler Heinicke to come in and almost come back and, you know, put that team in a position to win. So there was some good done by all three phases, but they still need to get better, I believe, on defense, you know, and offense, too. I think they can get a lot better. Guys need to show, show up and play. But from a defensive standpoint, there are things they can do better because, you know, Tyler coming in and performing the way he performed and putting that team in a position to potentially win. I mean, that defense played well, but they could play better.
If was it Bijan Robinson who Taylor Heinicke tried to hit on the 4th-and-1? Did he throw it? It was Bijan Robinson, right?
That last one? No, yeah. That was Jefferson. That was
Van Jefferson.
Yeah, Van Jefferson. Yeah.
That was Van Jefferson.
Ravenwood High School.
All right, go Ravenwood. if he catches that ball, we could be talking about a different game.
Yes, yes.
It could be different, but that's
it got a lot more hairy than it seemed like it was. Like, it seemed like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. They're going to win. Like, you never thought they were going to lose, but all of a sudden it was like, hey, man, this is getting a little too close.
It got a little too uncomfy for my liking, but yeah. If that's all it takes is Van Jefferson dropping a ball that he should have caught on 4th-and-1. Well, I mean, that's the NFL. I mean, sometimes you are gifted wins on Sundays in the NFL. Sometimes you blow teams out. Sometimes you get blown out. Sometimes it's close and it comes down to something like that. I mean, and you still don't step away from that game feeling disappointed that the Titans could have lost it. You obviously step away from that game feeling excited and encouraged about what this team could be, what Will Levis could be. But, you know, margin of error in the NFL is razor thin.
And quickly, yeah. Bijan Robinson still averaged close to 6 yards per rush. So let's not lose sight of that, because this is a team that prides themselves on stopping the run. They were not able to do that. Now, he only rushed the ball 11 times, but he averaged 5.6 per carry. So as much good as we saw from the defense getting to the quarterback, getting a fumble recovery, you know, Simmons knocking the ball out of Ritter's hands, then it being recovered, Simmons just being a presence, they still gave up too many yards rushing the football.
Yeah, and do we see hope from Landry? That was his most noticeable game, I think, so far. Is that, I mean, in this glass half full, hit the reset button, can Landry have a better second half going forward? How big would that be if that could happen?
Yeah, I think we saw a glimpse of it late in the Baltimore game in London.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we saw a good game from him on Sunday. But, yeah, it's because I think rightfully so the conversation is about Will Levis and the future with Will Levis and the day that Will Levis had on Sunday. But it's almost like you have to get back to reality really quick, because now you're going up against T.J. Watt on Thursday. Mm-hmm. You go from an Alabama team that Alabama, my God. I got Bama on the brain.
The Alabama Falcons.
I got Alabama Bama on the brain this week. Atlanta.
Did they move to Birmingham?
Hey, they're close enough. They're close enough.
Yeah, they're both A, and they're both in the South. Cut me some slack here.
You're trying to get to the SC Championship. I get it. It's okay. It's all good.
I don't know if I'm trying to fast forward to Saturday or just get past Saturday. But Atlanta, an Atlanta team that doesn't put a whole lot of pressure on the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Well, welcome to Pittsburgh, because you're about to get smacked in the mouth. So it's almost like, okay, let's snap back to reality, enjoy what Sunday was, but also keep it into context. Coy in Clarksville, Texan, said, Jared is saying that Rand has a bad GM. I don't know. I didn't hear Jared say that, to be completely honest with you. But you know, I'm not going to say that Rand is a bad GM.
I'm sure he did at some point. And then next week he'll say he's a great GM.
I will let you take that up with Jared. If we don't even really know what Rand does, I cannot say if he is a good or a bad GM. But going back to a conversation we were having earlier, I do want to hear from Rand.
Yeah.
What happened at the trade deadline? Why did you feel like that was a good enough return for Kevin Byard? Do you still, or how confident do you feel that if this team gets into a situation where it's a must-win game to win the division, do you feel like you won't need Kevin Byard in order to win that game? I do want to hear from Rand, at least.
Yeah, I think we, you know, I think we deserve to hear from Rand in regards to what was the team thinking heading into the trade deadline. So, you know, why make the move on Byard and then not make any other moves? Those are things that, you know, we would like to hear. And I think, you know, the fans are owed that. You traded away one of the cornerstones of your team. And I think fans deserve it. And hopefully I do believe he will address it soon here, you know. But whether Jared say he's a bad GM or not, I think it's – listen, it's too soon. I'm not going to sit here and say whether he's a bad GM or not. Damn it, I'm not qualified at this because he hadn't made enough moves.
It's a first
to say, yeah, to say whether Rand's a bad GM or not. I said to you, Caroline, off air, I said, listen, maybe I didn't hear Jared say that because, you know, I listened to the show from here to my house, and then once I got in the house, start doing other things. But I think with Jared, it's not what you say, it's how you say it, and it's with the – it sometimes it seems personal, and if you don't know Jared, you would think it's personal, when in actuality it's really not personal. But I think sometimes he can dig, and be sort of – venomous with his words that you think it's personal with particular. He did it with David Poyle. So was it personal with Poyle? No, but that's what he was feeling. I can see the same thing happening with Rand. I don't think it's ever personal. I just think the way it comes off, and when you hear it, you may think it's personal, and you may think he's just going at him for no reason. But listen, Jared has his reasons for doing what he does. His show is great. And but I didn't hear him say Rand was a bad GM. Now, I wouldn't put it past him to say that, but I didn't hear him say that, okay? I'm not saying Jared didn't say it, but I didn't hear it.
I didn't hear it either. I'll take the texture well, for it.
But it depends on what it's. He may not have used that word, mm-hmm. but there have been – when somebody is super critical and takes a hard opinion, right, that's the perception that a listener mm-hmm. gets.
All right, Jerry Dulock of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, he covers the Pittsburgh Steelers. He will join us coming up next for a little Titans-Steelers Thursday Night Football preview. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save